know where the treats at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet. Chief Concerns is presented by BetOnline and Olipop. Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. And ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the year. It's football season. And you know what that means? It means it's time to get in on BetOnline. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything football. BetOnline has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during the games. Think you know your stuff? Get in on our $200,000 mega contest and pick five games against the spread every week for your chance at weekly prizes and a share of $200,000. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Bet online. The game starts here.
Come on, baby. Go, 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 go. Yes.
It's a first down. This football season, I'll be putting down normal sodas like Coca-Cola for Olipop. Olipop offers a healthier alternative with its low sugar content and natural ingredients. Olipop is more than just a drink. It's a wellness companion that supports your digestive health. Packed with prebiotics, this fizzy elixir helps promote good bacteria in your gut, leading to improved digestion and overall well-being. So go ahead, click the link in the description and use promo code SODALOVE and get your can of Olipop so you can enjoy the game guilt-free. Go Chiefs. Use the promo code SODALOVE for 15% off now. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Chief Concerns, your post-game show, directly after the regular season finale of Week 18, where our Chiefs, well, I can say the Chiefs lost 38-0 at the hands of the Broncos, who really needed to get into the playoffs, and now they clinched their spot in the playoffs, eliminating the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Chiefs, we got to see some more depth pieces today, and pretty ugly, I will say. But yeah, season's over, guys, and obviously I'm seeing a lot of some of the reactions online from our Chiefs fans, Chiefs Kingdom, saying we look awful. It's a terrible way to go in the playoffs, looking sluggish like this. But, like, I mean, barely any of our ones play. Yeah, we had some guys who rotate and play. But, I mean, this game wasn't indicative of how things are going for us as we head into the playoffs. But what were your guys' reactions on this sluggish game for our Chiefs?
I mean, I think you pretty much said it. It just looked like it was you know, no tempo, couldn't stop anybody on defense. You know, you're looking for guys to make plays. You see the frustration in the coaches. Coaches were frustrated as well, just kind of watching it too. And I think, you know, really, I expected, you know, especially, you know, when you, as a coach, you do expect guys to go out there regardless of if these guys are rotational pieces or backups or whatever. You still expect them to go out there and perform. And so, there was some disappointment in some of people's plays. It really was. And so it was somewhat embarrassing for some of the guys. But you can see some efforts for some of the folks, you know, trying to do some things. Nico Remigio actually did a pretty good job. I like seeing what he was able to do on offense, kind of catch the football, get out of breaks and whatnot. I think he's a young kid. Man's got a really bright future, you know, keeping a guy like that around. And so if you start looking at bright spots on that, you know, obviously, like anything else, if you don't have a lot of quality reps, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to get into a really good rhythm. And so even though I like Carson James Wentz, you know, he was some things he just didn't look too comfortable back there. Didn't look too comfortable at all. And so so that was just kind of the tail of it, man. But, you know, once they switched it over from to the Chargers and Raiders game, I'm like, wow. Okay, TV, they seen enough too, so they need to go to something else. But
the damn towel.
Yeah. Do the Rocky thing. That's just real. But I think that's what it was, man. But I expected a lot more than that. I did. I actually thought it was going to be a pretty decent game. Denver was locked in all the way. They were. So,
yeah. It looked like a team that needed to win to get into the playoffs against a team that already clinched a bye the week before. It's not that shocking. I think the key word that you did leave out there was compete. I wish they had went out there and just tried to compete a little more. I just didn't get any competition from the Chiefs today. It's like, I think if they could have just not played, they probably would have done that. If the NFL let them, that's what it looked like. It looked like they just didn't want to be out there at all and didn't want anyone to get injured, which I understand. What you saw today, what we all saw today, is what every team, in a way, strives to get at, to such an advantageous position, to the point where you've won so early that you clinch such a high spot that you're so confident in what you're going to do and you're so ready for the playoffs that you can go in and mail it in the last week of the season and not have to try hard. I don't love it as a fan. I understand why they didn't put out Chiefs props in the betting apps for the most part, because could you imagine like taking any bets today for the Chiefs? You'd be really upset. Yeah, the other thing would be, the main thought would say, anytime you want to criticize Mahomes in the future for not looking great, just remember that this is the alternate reality of what our weeks might look like. On not as bad, because we were very on top of being the B squad, we were very vanilla too. You could tell we just didn't, it was just like halfback dive and just look for Wentz to undercut a rusher and try to find somebody. But that is the other side of it, right? So, yeah.
I think the guys tried. I do. I don't think they went out there just to go lay an egg. I think everybody just underperformed. I mean, that's pretty much what it was. And what I saw on it a lot was, when you have guys that are not starting, who's not getting quality reps, they get tired very easily. And I've seen our defensive tackles get tired quickly, okay, because you didn't really have that rotation. There was nobody, to come in to help to tap your hat. Well, it's like, oh, shoot, this joker's already out. We're not going to pull him back in the game. And so you've seen, guys, like I said, young guys who hadn't really been getting a whole lot of reps. The ones that did flash some of the brilliance is like a Hicks. Hicks, who's been a lot better, he looked great. And this is like a game for a guy like that.
That's very important for him.
Absolutely, to show what he can do, because we know he's going to be part of what we do going far, further in the playoffs. A lot of guys playing linebacker, it's the same thing that we could talk about the value of Nick Bolton, okay, or Drew Tranquil. Even though Chanel was out there, you had Cam Jones and, had the new guy in, who wasn't very familiar to the things that we did. So
this game was more important as an individual basis, more than like a team basis, basically, right? Like, you want guys to be put into a position to succeed and excel, and they do or they don't. But you want them, like, that's the point of like this game, right? Because, I mean, no one's going to judge us for a loss against a team who's a playoff team, who's trying to get in the playoffs, who needs this, right? And they play like it, too. It's not like you play against a team who needs to get into a playoffs and then they underperform, or maybe they're playing a little too tight, kind of like the Buccaneers for like half the game or three quarters of the game today. They were playing a little too tight, weren't sharp. Broncos, on the other side of it, needed it and were sharp. It was both in this game.
Yeah, I think kind of like the bigger picture, okay, and I'm just going from my coaching standpoint when I'm thinking about things, Tage, is this. Is, yes, you want individuals to do well, but you still have a system to run. Okay, and you feel like you have this thing that is like, anytime you put these pieces in, that people should be able to perform, right? And that's what I think when I seen Spags have a lot of frustration on his face is, dadgone, I'm putting you in the right position. All you need to do is just be where you're supposed to be. Like, make the tackle. It was one, like, Cam went out there to make the tackle on McLaughlin or somebody, and he completely missed him. It's like, dude, come on now. Like, yeah, individual, but there's a team basis on the things that we run. That's why I said, like, they're not getting any type of different coaching than the guys, other guys are. They're in the same meetings with these guys, have been all year, going through the entire offense, the same defense, same special teams. These guys are right there with them. There's no difference there, right? We understand that there's going to be obviously a level of talent and maybe performance, what it would be total as a team. But Andy knows guys for this performance. I know he's disappointed in what he saw out there. Team aspect, like, come on, man. We're not that bad. We shouldn't be that bad. We shouldn't get beat by some, what was it? I don't even know what the end of the score
38
was.
38-0.
38-0. I mean, come on. Like, and he's sitting there thinking this, like, we got guys in here that should have been able, like you said, compete and challenge guys, okay? Challenge them. Because there was guys that was out there that had played that was getting beat, still getting beat. I mean, you know, DJ Humphrey wanted to see how he was going to be able to do it. He didn't be able to touch him, you know, on Benito on that last sack or one of the sacks I saw. And I'm just like, you know, some of these things are just the same technique and fundamentals. Still football, right? X's and O's. So if I put you in here, I'm expecting you to perform. I'm expecting the team to perform. So
the only other note I have about that is I forgot who it was on the halftime show. They said, don't worry, something of the sort, not an exact quote. Don't worry, Chiefs fans. Spags is not showing anything today. So to kind of go to what you were just saying, there's a difference, though, in like a game Spags called and a game we're trying to win like last week and this week, right? Are you saying like he's calling the same type game?
No, he might take out a couple of packages, but like the rules are still the same. I mean, you're still cover 2, 1, 3, 4, right? Mixed, you know, coverages, you're still doing the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And so the baseline things, like, you should still have that foundation. So even if I put you at man, okay, it's you against him. It's Najee Johnson against Sutton, okay, or Vele, or whoever it may be. It's still those guys. Still, you know, Cam going against the running back. I'm putting you to position. I'm calling you. I'm not throwing you out of position, you know, to lose a game. Like, I still want to run my scheme.
Sure.
The thing that Spags does a little bit differently is because he has a lot more – complex,
exotic blitzes, exotic exactly. looks.
That's what he does a lot better. And the guys got to know that, because you never know when the guy's going to go down. You just never know. So I got to see what the guy's going to be able to do. And if you fail me on this, shoot, I'm going to make a point on it. Like, I can't put you in. I can't trust you if you're not paying attention to what we're doing out here, you're not understanding exactly what your assignment is, then that's an issue and a problem. That's an issue and a problem. Because I think you really have to look at it as the totality of an entire team. It is. It's a team concept. He's still calling, like I said, he's still calling the same things, mostly calling the same things, except the exotic blitzes. I'm sure he still ran a couple of exotic blitzes just to see what they can do, right? I mean, so, but one thing I don't want to do is, I don't want to take away from Denver, okay, their performance.
No.
All right? Denver is a very, very capable football team. And that's what I always thought, too. I'm glad they're going to be playing the Bills in the very first round, because I do believe they will give the Bills everything. They could possibly beat the Bills. They said they don't believe it, but I tell you what, if they take in Burrow and those guys to the very end, okay, where they should have probably won that game, what's the reason why they can't do it the same thing with the Bills? Okay, we had to win on the first seat, the first game with a block and field goal. I mean seriously, so. Go ahead. I mean, I just want to hear this because
I'm just going to make a joke about.
No, go ahead.
I would bet the first half Bills, because coming off of this game, we didn't exactly prepare the Broncos to go against the Bills next week. You know, they're going to go from our B squad to like the A game Bills. It's going to be quite a difference in talent and you know, and all that. But it's, yeah, I do think they're capable, because a defense travels.
Right. I'm just saying, you know, they had a good showing against, you know, obviously Burrow and those guys up there. And then also, too, you're talking about running their stuff. Now, that's what we, you know, when you come into this, yeah, you go ahead and you do all the film work, try to get these guys. But it is about what you do offensively. And so them, they'll build on this. You know, Sean Payton, those guys, he's sitting there thinking, man, this is what our offense could look like. We're sitting over doing this. We could throw the deep ball, to Cortland. We can do this with Mims. We can do all these different things with, you know, our running backs, right? Williams had a pretty good game. the defense is solid. They're a solid defense. That's another thing too.
Yeah.
So we were sitting there talking about, like, when you're looking at the stats, you know, they're holding teams, you know, under, I forgot what it was. They had the thing up. I don't even know exactly what it was, but they was holding teams to a certain number of points that I think was like one of the top in the league, or you know. So I just remember them making those different points, and I'm sitting there like, man, Denver's a good defense. They're a good team. They are. They're a very good football team. So
just to your point, Denver is a 7.5-point underdog at Buffalo next weekend. So 7.5-point underdogs at Buffalo next weekend. Yeah, so there you go. So Vegas thinks they're at least a touchdown better than Denver, which I don't really agree with. But that seems like Vegas has a hard on for Josh Allen. So I did see some talk about the overreactions, and I just pulled up some stats here. So one of the biggest overreactions from our Chiefs Kingdom on Twitter, which I love, and you know, I think it's funny, but I think there is a little bit of truth to it, right? To Carson Wentz, you know, we've said he's probably one of the more talented backups we've had since A. Reed's been here, but today didn't really see much of that. And what I did was I went back to look at past performances of quarterbacks that have started the last game of the season for us. And I went to 2014. I have Chase Daniels' numbers when he started that Chargers game for us. So I'll just quickly. So Chase Daniels back in 2014, Chiefs won that game 19-7. Chase Daniels, 157 yards passing, 16 of 27, zero picks, zero touchdowns. And then he was sacked four times that game. Go back to 2020, Chad Henne against the Chargers. We lost 38-21. Chad Henne had 218 yards passing, two touchdowns. And then last year, Blaine Gabbert, 15 of 30, 154 yards, zero touchdowns, one pick. We won that game 13-12. And then today, Carson Wentz, 10 of 17, 98 yards. Didn't even get the 100-yard threshold. Zero touchdowns, zero INTs, and sacked four times. I guess the thing I've seen online is, God forbid, this is kind of it's pretty much what I've seen. But God forbid Mahomes goes down in the playoffs, because Carson Wentz, we can't have that performance in the playoffs. That's a wounded team that can't really do much without Patrick Mahomes if we have to go with Carson Wentz. Just based on what we saw today, obviously small sample size. We see what Carson Wentz has done in the past. But based on what we've seen so far in his Chiefs tenure, that performance today, are you scared if, God forbid, anything were to happen to Patrick Mahomes?
I mean, anything happened to Patrick Mahomes, I'd be scared anyway.
But, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. We can look at the past performances of those quarterbacks all under different conditions. You had different players playing. You know, you have a different line. You have a better line. You have better running backs. You have better wide receivers. You're throwing the ball to tight ends. That boosts everything up around Carson. So I don't want to look into it too much, because we know Carson can't sling the football. We know that. And if you give anybody time, I don't care who it is, if you don't give a quarterback any time to throw the football, they're not going to do a very good job. Okay. So that would be the thing. All right. He would have a very better support group around him, capable support group around him, as opposed to, you know, having Hendershot out there, not taking anything away from him, but I mean, they was one of the three wide receivers they had out there was Remigio, Juju, and Watson. And that was it. That was their rotation. That's all they had. They didn't have anybody else. And so Noah Gray played sparingly. Hendershot was the other guy that was out there. And they had Carson Steele and P-Rod. Carson Steele got more carries than everybody else, more than P-Rod. So, and so they pulled out the first line after the first series. I think they only went one series, one or two series, and that was it. So I guess, does that answer your question?
I mean, it does. And I think you're right. The same sentiment should be for everybody. If Patrick Mahomes goes down, right, and I think a lot of people point to the Chad Henne drive in that Cleveland game where he came in and kind of gave us, you know, what we needed when Patrick was down. Can Carson Wentz do that for a drive? I think people are just scared, because if this is what we saw Carson Wentz today,
yeah,
can he materialize in the playoffs? And I will say, Carson Wentz, you know, he's been a more successful quarterback in his career than Chad Henne or Blaine Gabbert or Chase Daniel ever was. So
That was my question to you. I was going to say, if you all those guys, who would you prefer? Who has a better record and whatnot, completion percentage, all those different things as far as, you know, body of work?
Yep.
From all those quarterbacks.
Yeah, Carson Wentz. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And in a playoff game, he's not playing with the quarter four guys of a preseason game. He's going to be playing with the starters, you know, so. TJ, any thoughts to some of the overreactions from
Jim? I mean, it's not fair to judge Carson Wentz's ability to come in for a drive in the playoffs based on this game. That's not – same way I would say if Mahomes was playing with our backups, backup receivers, backup running backs, backup O-line, that wouldn't be fair to judge him on it either, right? Mahomes' first game, granted as a rookie – play with a lot of backups, and you know he won, but he didn't even score a touchdown in that game. So I wasn't going to judge the rest of his career based on that, just like I'm not going to judge Carson Wentz's playoff potential based on that. He'd look a lot different with a much different game plan and less vanilla, more on the line. I don't think, you know, Carson Wentz is going to risk getting injured to try to dive for a first down in this game. We need him for much more important. Because think about it, like with our past with Henny, for instance, coming in at such a really important drive to really save our season in the past, it gives you that much more importance for a guy like Wentz to not get injured in this game. That's why you see a lot of teams pulling like their backups too, their second string quarterback, because if that guy has to come in, he's your guy, right? Look at backups that have taking their teams to the Super Bowl that season, right? I mean, Tom Brady was a backup that season that he came in for Bledsoe. He was their Wentz that year, right? Foles was their Wentz that year that he came in. And eventually got rid of Wentz because of that. Well, you just don't know anymore what can happen. I'm not going to judge Wentz off this. It's not fair.
And for the record, I'm not judging Wentz. I'm just saying that was some of the comments I saw online. And obviously, we talked about it during the week. You know, that's the reason why we saw a lot of Quan get playing time today, because they didn't want to throw Wentz the dogs in this game completely, at least. They didn't want to, I mean, he was sacked four times, but, you know, they didn't want to completely get him hurt before postseason play.
How did Olakan look? I didn't get to see any bit of the last part of the game.
I mean, he had some fun moments. I don't think he didn't complete a pass, but there was one play where he kind of like escaped. I think it was a third down play. He escaped the pocket, like couldn't find anybody open, but he kind of like, you know, went back and forth around the field, and then I think he ran like got like 3 or 4 yards or something.
He didn't attempt one either. He was 0 for 0.
Yeah, I thought that play was gonna find someone downfield, but it was just fun, good like flag football kind of play, and then he just ran out of bounds like 3 or 4 yards.
He was honing in on his inner Casey Printers.
but cool for him, you know. I mean, guy got pulled from the practice squad, you know, he's been around the league a little bit to get his first snaps in a regular season NFL game, so you always gotta love that kind of stuff. JD, you did mention DJ Humphries a little bit, and we talked about some of the kind, this game was kind of a depth watch, guys who were either be making their money in Kansas City next year, getting playing time in Kansas City next year or elsewhere. Talk about O-line, you talked about DJ Humphries. Kingsley Sumatea, starting left guard, which some people said he might be an NFL guard. Now he's getting some playing time there, left guard spot. What did you make of Kingsley? I know he's such a big name for us in the offseason. What did you make of his play? Anybody else that stood out, O-line, D-line, that you were like, oh, okay?
I mean, I think Kingsley did a decent job from what I saw. I think Humphrey's going to get a little bit better. He's still healing, so he'll have a couple more weeks, you know, to get himself all put together. I think Wanye did a decent job on the right side. Norzad, I think he did a pretty decent job at center as well. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean,
yeah, the future and Hunter Norzad getting some playing time out there. Be about him. He can play center, guard. He can do it all. So it was nice to see him get some burn today.
It's good to get more experience, especially for Humphreys, who we're going to be using him in the playoffs, and to get out there again. But I don't know. Let's not start speculating. Yeah, we have 2 weeks to figure that out.
And JD, that's something also too that we've kind of been talking about. We've been waiting for Humphreys to get back to be healthy. Now, Andy did say that they were going to try to get him back to being the starting left tackle when he does come back. Based on what we've seen from Tuning over the last few weeks, do you still think they're going to go back to DJ Humphries at left tackle, or do you think they're going to kind of go with what we've seen the last few weeks with Tuning at left tackle?
I'm not sure. You know, as far as the evaluation of it, you know, he like Andy said, he just wanted to see how he was going to be able to hold up, how he was going to be able to do. So maybe another couple of weeks. Here's the thing. If you start Humphries out there and he doesn't do well, you know what the remedy is. We know that. So if you trust him and he does a great job, fine. If he messes up, hey, Joe, we need you. Move on out there, right? So I think that's a contingency plan. But if Andy was felt like his performance today was a little bit better, better than was expected, I think he still probably goes with Humphries starting at left tackle in the playoffs until he can't do it.
Yeah.
And then another topic that I saw that a lot of people are just kind of generally concerned about, Harrison Butker comes in, misses obviously elements-wise, it's mile high, it was cold, whatever. I mean, Harrison Butker takes a lot of kicks in the cold weather and elements. Are you concerned about Harrison Butker's kicking since he's returned from injury? A lot of people are. I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying that's the kind of the consensus that I've seen online.
I wasn't, but if there was anyone that seemed kind of going through the motion, like Tay said earlier, I think that kick looked like it was kind of going through the motion. I'm like, what the heck was that? I mean, that sucker pushed the all way left. It was like not even a decent attempt at it. Mile High is a place, you know, in Denver is where you're supposed to kick it far. That's, you know, the best conditions that you see kickers, you know, kick the ball. So that just seemed kind of lackadaisical to me. So.
Yeah. More so, I mean, what's he the last few games as far as makes the misses? It's probably his worst stretch in.
So 0-for-1 this week, 1-for-1 last week,
2-for-2
the week prior, 0-for-1 the week prior. I mean,
look, he's so good that this is his worst stretch of his career. Like that's it. And that's missing two kicks over the last 4 weeks. So, you know, it's a bad time for him to be doing it more so for his head. I think I don't want him to overthink it. I want him to go out there and think he's automatic. Like that's what I want him to be thinking. So, you know, hopefully it just, I'll be more concerned if it happens in the playoffs. And I'm like, no.
But maybe he needs that. Maybe he needs that adrenaline rush. Like, okay, this is the moment. Time for him to step up. You know, some guys are just, they have it about them that, and we know playoffs is where everything speeds up for everybody. You know,
yes.
One and go home. That's it. There's no do-overs, maybes, and hey, none of that.
And we've been in that moment so much over the years. I think we're a little more automatic about it than most other teams would be when they get tightened up in those situations. I don't think we get tightened up in those.
Right.
I just read, by the way, from Seth Kaiser, DJ Humphries had one loss out of 13 pass block snaps. So he only lost once out of those 13.
Okay.
Not bad at all, JD. What do you make of those numbers based on what you saw out there versus that?
I mean, 13 snaps, you still don't want that one loss under 13 because that could be that one that gets somebody hurt. So, I mean, I just know he just didn't get up, man. Benito got off so fast. I was like, oh, gosh. I mean, I know he was sitting there thinking like, oh, shit, this sucker's by me.
Yeah.
So.
I'm just worried about the lack of snaps from Humphries. Like, if he never got injured, had a setback, and he played these last 4 weeks and got progressively better each week, I would feel so much more confident going into the playoffs with him as our LT, but to like lose that time and then come back for 13 pass block reps and then come in second round of the playoffs, that's just a lot. That's a lot to take on.
Yeah.
Well, but now, so practice, you just give him value, you know, in one-on-ones practice. Like if you've seen enough from him from those 13 snaps, like, okay, cool, let's build on this. You still got a couple of weeks to build on the things that you need to build on. And it's not like he's a spring chicken. He's been here before. He knows what the NFL is all about, you know. So he's a veteran player. He'll figure it out. He's got enough time to figure these things out, to get his feet right, to know exactly where his body needs to be. That's one thing I do trust, especially with a veteran player, to know where he needs to be to be effective. So I'm just glad he had at least the 13, though, Taze. You know what I'm saying? To get that. I wish he had more. I'm right with you. I wish he did have more.
Yeah.
More. So.
So looking at the playoff picture here. So now everything's set on the AFC side, NFC side. They'll be done tonight after the Lions-Vikings game, which is going to be a great game. I love how, like, it's coming down to the last final game where to decide the one seed or the fifth seed. So it'll be interesting to watch tonight. But AFC side, obviously, we've been the one seed for a while now. Buffalo Bills clinched the 2, Ravens clinched the 3 spot, Texans clinched the 4 spot, Chargers 5, Steelers 6, and Broncos 7. We talk about Broncos be playing the Bills, Ravens play the Steelers, and then Texans, Chargers, and being the one seed, we get reseeding as well as the bye. So we'll be playing the lowest possible seed going into
the Hold on, ball. You said, okay, no, go ahead.
No, I just said we'd be playing the lowest possible seed. So whoever's the lowest seed wins these games next week, and that'll be our opponent.
Yeah. Give me the winner of the Houston-Charger game and have the Ravens and Bills play each other in round 2.
That's the consensus. That's what everybody wants.
Have at it. Let them beat the hell out of each other in that game and then come to KC for some barbecue. On this note we were just talking about, I didn't hear him say this, but apparently Reed said Humphreys will start and Tooney will go back to guard if Humphreys held up well today. Before he said this before the game, apparently I didn't hear him say that, so that's just what someone said online.
Interesting. Okay. But that has been the kind of talk for the last few weeks. Reed did say that when he was back and ready, we didn't know when that ready was going to be, that he would go back to left guard. So
yeah,
that does match up to things.
And I'm sure that leash is short though, right? If Humphreys is getting beat like a drum, I'm sure he'll have no problem just going back to what we know is a good line that works, right? With Caliendo at guard and tuning back at LT.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right, guys.
I'm sitting there thinking that just the 13 snaps he got is just crazy just because we couldn't stop anybody. We just could not stop him at all. We didn't have just nothing offensively.
He probably would have played more snaps if we would have sustained a drive in the friggin' first half.
Exactly.
What was, I'll go through and see what our longest drive was in the first half. Probably like 5 plays, maybe.
Time possession was horrible. I mean, they were just they were just eating us up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the plan probably was for him to play first half, but we didn't get any possessions in the first half, so that's all he got. Two plays. Oh, no, that's the end of the game.
No, it's three plays. Sorry, first drives. 3 plays, 5 plays, 7 plays, 12 plays. 6 plays.
That's the end. That's the end of the game. 3.
Okay. Yeah.
3. 11. Okay. So that was the most. That's the most run he got on that drive. The third drive was 11 plays. Missed field goal.
There you go. Man. But well, we'll see that kind of game again next August. So we're looking at week 3 of preseason. But that'll do it for our regular season, guys. So Chiefs lose 38-0, but didn't really matter because we were the one seed and have a bye locked in to our spot in the playoffs. Now we get a week off to watch and see how things go in the AFC. Kind of fun just to be spectators for a week, and then then the real deal starts for our guys in Kansas City. Right. So JD and I'll be on tomorrow night on Chief Concerns on our YouTube channel. JD will be. Been doing great, just kind of looking over, kind of highlighting some of the things we saw, things we didn't like, things we liked from our depth pieces and guys who actually be playing, because we did see a lot of guys who will be playing when we are back in 2 weeks. And then Wednesday, the full crew here will be doing a kind of a playoff picture primer, kind of going through all the matchups, things to look for, the injuries for each teams and stuff, doing a little playoff picture preview on Chief Concerns on Wednesday night. I hope everybody enjoyed the episode. Hope everybody enjoys this NFC North showdown for the one seed in the NFC tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy.
Give us some good ball. We'll see y'all later.
All right, guys.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.